So the scripture text today is from John 18, 1 through 14. And the word of the day is plan, like you plan an event. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus, the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again, they replied, "Jesus, the Nazarene." "I told you that I am he," Jesus said, "and since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement, "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, "It's better that one man should die for the people." It's what happens when you again don't rehearse. Dear Lord, thank you for Ron. Thank you for the words that you give us to live by. Yes. Just be with us today as we hear these and apply them to our lives.
Yes.
Just learn and grow. Let us be open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Oh, spring is on its way. And if you hear a whole bunch of shouting coming from the southern part of LaGrange County, it would be me. And I'm ready for it. And no more snow until next fall. I love it. You agree with me? Yes. Oh, we serve an awesome God, don't we? An awesome God who has covered us with his grace and mercy. We sang, I love this, "For he is glorified," or "forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive, and he is alive." That's your response, sorry. He is alive, and God is good all the time. Oh, yes. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. You know, I could sing this. Melissa said I could sing it anytime I wanted to.
Absolutely.
Our God is a healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if your God and my God is for us, who could ever stop us? Since God was for Jesus Christ, his precious son, no one could stop what is set in motion on this Sunday. No one can stop it. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us? No one. Say that with me. No one can stand against us. Wow. Come, Holy Spirit. When I get up in the mornings, I'm usually singing a song. And when I went to bed last night, it was about 11-ish, and I was praying, and I went to sleep praying, come Holy Spirit. And this morning when I got up, guess what was on my lips? Exactly. From power from above, the Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes, open our ears, and provide the words for today that bring forth that it's about Jesus Christ and it's about God's love. Let's pray. Father, come Holy Spirit. As we prepare to walk with Jesus to the cross, to remember all that He gave up for us, your precious Son, your one and only Son, may your words come forth, Holy Spirit driven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' betrayal and arrest. This marks the beginning and the end of his life. He knows what he's doing. There's no doubt. He's got things under control. No doubt whatsoever. Who are you looking for? Jesus said to the folks who came to take his life or to arrest him and set up that he's going to give up his life. Who are you looking for? We had this question before us as Jesus begins his journey focusing on the cross. And Jesus asked two times in this very chaotic situation, who are you looking for? And with this question, we see two very clear things. Number one is Jesus is in full control of his life as he prepares to die on the cross. He's in full control. Nobody else is. And Jesus is following the plan that God has set before him. He's been following that plan since day one. But this plan before him is now set in the final week. The Gospels are clear. Jesus knows the path of suffering that God has called him to walk on. And he does not shrink back. And no one has the authority over Jesus to stop God's plan. The Bible sets before us a plan, which is a path we are called to follow on our journey through life. The Bible's plan is about our path to salvation, our path back to God. And it's only through Jesus Christ. I love this passage from Romans. It is so packed. It's the story of salvation. For everyone has sinned And we all fall short of the glorious standard of God. Amen? We're born sinners. Number one. Number two, yet God so freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. Righteous means that we are in right standing with God. Whoo! God declared that. And He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. That's what we're going to look into today. Wow! I love it, babies. Jerry, I wondered how you kept Eli. You must have the touch, huh? By the way, mothers, we need more babies. We need more children. I said to Melissa this morning, this Melissa back here, Sam's Melissa, we need more babies. And she said, Rondo, it's never going to happen with me. How was that? There'll be none baked.
Not from this body.
No, something about baked. What did you say? That was it. I never heard that before. She wants to have a baby that's fully baked. All right, better get back to it. For God presented Jesus as our sacrifice. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus shed His life on the cross, shed His blood for us. He sacrificed His life. Amen. Amen. And knowing Jesus followed God's plan for the forgiveness of the sins of many, we too must accept God's plan of salvation to get our life on track to follow God's plan. Love it. Finally, I got it out, didn't I? Let's get into the scripture. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with His disciples and entered the Grove of Olive Trees. In chapter 17, if you remember last week and the week before, Jesus prayed for Himself, His disciples, and future believers who are you and I. And now He's with His disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus often used the garden to pray, to meet with His disciples there. So Judas is in the process of betraying Him, and he knows that's where Jesus goes. And so he knows he'll probably find Him there. The leading priests and the Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and a temple guards to accompany Him, now with blazing torches and lanterns and ropes and everything else to arrest Jesus, and weapons, they arrive at the Olive Grove. Now, it's estimated that a contingent of soldiers would number about 600 men, plus the temple guards. Do you think they came prepared to take on whatever is going to happen? Oh, my. Yes, knowing that Jesus' arrest could be confrontational, the authorities did not want this situation to get out of hand. So here comes Judas with more than enough help just to confront the Lamb of God. Just to confront Jesus Christ. And He is in full control of this situation. So Jesus fully realized that this was going to happen to Him. So He steps forward. And He says, "Who are you looking for?" Now remember, Jesus is in full control of the situation. And He will not be taken off course of what God has called Him to do. He's fully aware that Judas has betrayed Him, and He realizes His time has come. Do you remember the first time He said, "This is not my time"? I think He's, Joseph, am I right? Did He say it 7 times? How often does He say, "This is not my time"?
A bunch.
Thank you, brother. You make me look good. Joseph's got everything up here, and he's... Young people can have it up here. Older folks, they say we're a little more forgetful. Nah. All right. Anyway, when his mother tells his servants, when Jesus changes the water to wine, he said, "It's not my time." That was the first time. Now he knows His time has come. What's his time come for? Yes, to go to the cross, to die for the sins of many. Now he knows it's his time. So he does not wait for things to unravel, but steps forward to face the mob. He wants to be in full control. So who are you looking for? He asks, and they reply, Jesus of Nazarene. The Nazarene. And he says, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, I am he, they all drew back and fell to the ground. I found this in commentary this week. They came to arrest a meek and peasant man. And instead, they were met in the dim light by a majestic and powerful person who's Jesus Christ. And they all fell down. These words, I am he, are a declaration with all the authority of heaven and earth that he is the Son of God. That he was sent by God to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Once more he asked, who are you looking for? And again they replied, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I told you I am he, he said. And since I am the one you want, let these others go. Now he knows that they've come to arrest him, but he wants his disciples protected. Why is it so important to have his disciples protected, the last 11? Why is it so important that they are still this group, even after his resurrection when he reinstates them? Why is it so important that the disciples are still the group? Yes, exactly. The gospel's got to be shared. And if you kill this group, then what? No. So he wants to protect these guys, doesn't he? Yes. He calls attention back to himself. Who are you looking for? I told you I am he. He wants to protect his disciples from all harm. So the image that comes forth is this. Jesus is stepping up to the gap. He's going to sacrifice his life for the sins of many. Even his disciples. Wow, even us. He stepped into the gap. He did this to fulfill his own statement. I did not lose a single one of them. I did not lose a single one of them you have given me. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. Here Jesus is fulfilling scripture and his promise. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that no one was lost. That's chapter 17. So here we see Peter jumps into action, protect Jesus. But he did not understand what was about to take place. That Jesus intended to follow God's plan of sacrificing his life for many. But Jesus says to Peter, put your sword away, put it back. Shall I not take the cup that God has given me? Should I not go to the cross? So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested him and tied him up. Peter's attempt to protect Jesus almost messes things up. Jesus knows that since he whacked off the ear of a pretty important person, Peter's in trouble. And so we read this in Luke's gospel, that Jesus touched the man's ear and healed him. We know that happened. That's what it says in Luke's gospel. And that in itself kept them from destroying the disciples. Jesus wants Peter to understand that he must suffer and he is in absolute command, committed to fulfilling his Father's purpose for his life. First they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Caiaphas is the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, it is better that one man should die for the people than for many. With the willing surrender of Jesus, his arrest is complete. Although Caiaphas didn't realize it, he spoke profound truth when he said, it is better for one man to indeed die for the salvation of many. So Jesus knew his time had come to face the cross. He also knew without a doubt God had a plan for his life and called him to follow it. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. And are we willing to follow it? We know this is true as we read in Psalm 139. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in the book. Every moment was laid out. Can you believe that? Of course. That's what the Word says. God knows every moment of our lives. He knows the plan. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How do we know God's plan and follow God's plan that He has set before us? How do you know that? How do you become aware of God's plan that He's set before you? Through prayer. Through prayer. Number one. How do you know? Reading His Word. Number two. Faith. Trust.
Assured
that we are not alone. Wow. On that journey through life, that's really important to know that God is with us, even when we make a mistake or two. Huh? Ooh. How many of us have made mistakes along the way? Oh, yeah.
How about one step at a time?
One step at a time.
My grandpa and my dad told me.
My grandpa and my dad told me. Wow. What do you do to follow God's plan? Do it again.
Discern with fellow believers.
Yes, a biggie. Yes, a biggie. How many of you, when you get up in the morning, say, okay, God, after you've prayed, okay, God, this is the day you have given me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you do that in the morning? God, what do you have for me today? And can I follow that path? You guys are looking really good up here. Aren't kids precious? I like when the kids are up. Hey, by MIF, what would it take to get you up here in the front chairs? You got to go like, whoa. Huh? Huh? If we give you like cushy chairs. Huh? We're getting them, maybe.
Used to be.
Huh? Used to be.
Used to be a long time ago. That's where the MIF
is. How did you get in the back row?
Yeah. What
Well, I think we could change that.
Sure.
What do you think of that, Sam?
Up front for
them. Joseph, did you hear that? Front row, cushy chairs, and MYO. Yep. I've asked, we have a miracle here with us. More than one miracle, but I've asked Mervyn to share a little bit about God's plan for his life.
I don't know what his plan is for my life, but I do know who I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for a new body. But I want to tell you something about what he did. Going back a little ways, I don't want to take too much time, but anyway.
We got hey, we have food.
Oh, good. I'm going to take my time.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I first had my tears in my aorta. I was May the 11th. I was in a hospital in South Bend for some time, and they couldn't patch the ascending one because it was too bad, and they just couldn't do anything with that one. So they didn't expect me to live. They really didn't. My six children were there, and he had them believing I won't make it. They were planning a funeral, believe it or not. Which was all right. I told the doctor, I'm not afraid to die. Whatever. And then they said, well, we'll put you on medication. Now, the first week I was in, I didn't know much what was happening. I was just out. And anyway, then they watched it, and several months later, they took a CAT scan to see how he's doing. Believe it or not, the ascending one, which they couldn't patch, do anything with was healed, and they said it looks like a new one. Right, that was a miracle. So later on, so 3 months later, they took a CAT scan to see how I'm doing, to figure to patch the other. And they came out and they went like this, both doctors. I was sprinkling blood through the aorta. And they, to this day, I'm sure they don't know why I'm alive. They said, that's a widowmaker. But that healed, they went in to patch the others, and it took a hold, and I'm doing all right in that. So what does God have for me, you know, with all that healing? So I had the, a few weeks ago, you know, I was in the hospital with a problem with my bladder, a gallbladder. Anyway, my bowel was plugged. So a short, the small intestine blockage. And the surgeons watched, they were going to do surgery. And they don't like to do surgery with what I had. They're very careful with not doing surgery when you have a bad aorta. So when they were going to release me, they looked at me. They came in, they checked. 3 times while they were in checking me to release me, they said, you're lucky to be here. I said, no, I'm not. I'm blessed to be here. I was blessed to be here. Luck had nothing to do with it. It was all God. So what does he have for me to do? So I watch and listen to people. Now I'll tell you some what happened the other day. I was in a grocery store, down the Forks grocery store, and I was looking for oil, because certain oil I like to use to fry fish. And I couldn't find it. And then this lady and her husband were there, and she said, right there. I said, I was looking for a gallon, but that's what I want. I bought it. And then he started talking about fishing. Everybody knows I'm a fisherman. And he fished, and he was telling me, he showed me pictures of what all he was catching this year. Oh, he was all excited. So we talked a little bit. And then I said, well, I can't ice fish. I dare not fall. I told him why. And she, I know she was a nurse or not. I have no idea who these people were. I never saw him before. Don't have no idea. So she starts, after I told a little bit about me, they started walking. She turns around and says, you're a walking miracle. And she had just told me about what she had. Her artery was clogged here. They can't even open it. They dare not even do a thing to it because it's so tight. And they're afraid of whatever. So I said, well, I tell you what, I stopped her and I said, God wants me to pray for you. She said, I almost asked you for that, but you didn't. So I said, I don't care where we're at. He wants me to pray for you. Step off to the side here and let people go by if they want to. That's fine. I took her and her husband. She wept while I prayed for her. I have no idea to this day who she is. And I would like to know how she's doing. But God knows. What does God have for us? Do we listen to him? But I've been told many times, you're a walking miracle. And I said, I'm just what God wants me to be at this point. I have pain, and I'm taking therapy for it. I'm doing all right. But someday I'll have a new body, and whatever he has for me here on this earth, I'm going to do it. Because people keep reminding me, you're a walking miracle, and I'm beginning to believe it. Okay, Ron.
I'll add, when Mervyn received that news, I think all three of us pastors were there. I'm not sure, but they went in and anointed him. I'll tell you what, the healing power of God is alive and well. Following God's plan for our lives. First of all, we accept his plan of salvation. That's a must. Through Jesus Christ. By walking daily with God in prayer. You guys, that's what you said. By reading his word. And seeking his guidance in all we do. Jesus knew what God had called him to do. Ask yourself, are you seeking, are you striving to follow God's will, God's plan in your life? And the only way to do that is to seek to draw closer to God and have him guide us along the way. Let's pray. Father, as we see in Scripture today, your Son, Jesus Christ, your precious Son, there's no doubt he knew the plan you had for him. And he responded and gave up his life for us. And every one of us have a plan laid out for us in life. And we seek your face as Christians. We seek your face as believers to have you guide us along the way. May we be a people seeking to follow the path you're leading us on in our lives. For it's in the power of Jesus Christ that we can claim to be your children. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and you love us. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.